Welcome to the RUF SCAD podcast. Martin Antoon here, where we explore the intersection between faith and creativity. Today, we've got Chandler Williams. Chandler, thanks for joining.
Martin, thanks for having me. I feel honored. Very excited.
Definitely. Glad you could be here. So give us the short version of the story. Where are you from? How'd you end up at SCAD?
Oh, it feels like freshman year, you know? Small talk.
That's right.
But I'm from Statesboro, which is like an hour away from Savannah. And I've always known about SCAD, but I went to a SCAD like summer camp when I was in high school, and that just blew my mind. So I always knew I wanted to come here after that. And that's how I got here.
Nice. So what are you studying at SCAD?
Oh, I'm studying film.
Nice. Film so television. How did you like film? How did that happen? What was there a moment where you knew film was what you wanted to do? Influential films? How did that come about?
I mean, I've always had a love for film, but once I was in like middle school, high school, it really became like an obsession. Mm-hmm. And that's just how I think now, just in terms of like shots. That's just how my mind works. But when I saw the first time I saw Fight Club, and like, I think I was going into the freshman year of high school, that just really blew my mind, because I just didn't know films could be like that. They could be made like that, or just everything about it just hit me like that time in my life. And so I have a few films like that where they just hit me right when like I needed to see them, and really just blew my mind.
Yeah,
in terms of like career and aspirations and stuff, just like wanting to make art like that.
Yeah, so Fight Club was the big turning point. Does it hold up as well as you remember it? Have you gone back and rewatched it, or
I
was
have.
It like just that moment was just right?
The moment was just right, and I still love it. Still has a very special place in my heart.
Mm-hmm.
But I've kind of moved past it. Like,
yeah.
You know, graduated past it in terms of like, you know, exploring what else I like and, you know, other styles that appeal to me.
Mm-hmm.
But I always loved that film.
Yeah. Yeah. So what are some of the other influential ones? You mentioned there were a few others that had, maybe not to the same extent, but some impact that kind of progressed you in your journey of filmmaking. What were some of the other ones?
Yeah. Right after that, I think, yeah. Fight Club was freshman year of high school, and I think sophomore year of high school was Donnie Darko.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That just, oh man, I was obsessed with that film, and those two together, like that, I mean, right at, like, they were right after one another, and so I just, that became my life, you know?
Yeah.
I'm still into, like, the Donnie Darko, you know, the cult following, and...
Mm-hmm. Both of those films kind of have that. It's funny because Fight Club, like, might be one of the only big budget films to have a cult following like that, or at least a big studio release
that
that kind of following. Was, for Donnie Darko, was it, like, an extension of the same things that, like, the Fight Club did, or was it, it's like it took it in a different direction? Like, how did that kind of play into it?
I mean, it was the first time I really saw a coming-of-age film that was fantastic as a coming-of-age film, as well as, like, a sci-fi mind twister, and it was it's wholly both of those.
Mm-hmm.
And it just works so well, and I love those two genres, and I want to do something like that. And I mean, I've always wanted to do something like that ever since I saw it, but
yeah, it's like those aren't two genres that you typically think go hand in hand.
Yeah,
coming of age and like what would you even call it, like sci-fi kind of suspense,
like
kind
psychological
of surreal, yeah, psychological suspense-ish.
Yeah.
Slash coming of age.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which I think is kind of funny. Because, like, I don't know, genre combinations are usually, like, adventure romance or...
Yeah.
stuff like that.
But, ones that kind of seem to go hand in hand.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
And then fast forward a few years, I'm in college, and I saw Stalker by Andrei Tarkovsky. And that, you know, that just really hit me in terms of, like... film as an art. Because after like being in film school, my threshold for entertainment is so high, it just has to be art now.
Yeah.
Which kind of sucks, but it's kind of great.
So how did that one kind of progress the kind of the inspiration of filmmaking?
Well, I didn't know you could do those things technically, like on a technical level, like have shots be that long.
Mm-hmm.
And have it be okay, because it's a very long movie.
Mm-hmm.
because it's, you know, it tells the story of a journey and like desperation, but within that it makes you feel tired watching it.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Kind of bored, but in a really good way that's really engaging if you are into film. Mm-hmm. If you're not a film person, I don't recommend watching it.
So is this the one that like kind of brought the technical awareness into the things that had already grabbed you about, let's, you know, Fight Club and Donnie Darko? Was this just like a, you know, what does it look like for these technical pieces to kind of register alongside what I first loved about film? Is that kind of the impact soccer had?
Yeah, yeah. Because, I mean, like, I was in art school, film school at that point, so I was already into, like, you know, the nitty-gritty technical level of film and, you know, really watching films for that purpose. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you made a distinction a second ago that I think is an interesting one. You sort of contrasted entertainment and art. I'm working through, like, what does it look like? Where does one end and the other begin? Or are they just two totally separate realms?
Well, I think they can be two totally separate realms, but film is the intersection of that.
Yeah, okay.
Or it's, quote, supposed to be. Mm-hmm. I'd say it should be. A good film is supposed to be entertaining and artful, in my definition.
Yeah.
But, I mean, after coming to SCAD and, like, really just having a new perspective on art, I admire them as works of art rather than entertainment.
Yeah.
Because it is both, but there's a difference between, like, you know, a Tarkovsky film and then, like, a big, you know, Marvel movie blockbuster. Mm-hmm. And so I've, you know, definitely have gravitated more towards the art house style.
Yeah. Is it one of those things that you can put into words of what the difference is? Like, we can look at, you know, The Avengers, which, you know, is an enjoyable film and things about it are done well. And we compare that to, you know, kind of take your pick of an art house film. And it's like, we can recognize that something's different about those two. I don't know, like, can you put into words what that difference is? Or is it just, you just kind of know when you see it?
I would say, I mean, coming off the top of my head, I would do the analogy of, like, painting or, I would say painting. Because, like, you know, you can have paintings of graphic design on, like, food labels just to try to sell you food.
Yeah.
And then you could have, like, a fine art painting. They're both paintings and they're done the same way, but they just have different objectives.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a helpful distinction. It's like the intention has to play into that as well, not just the piece itself, but, like, the purpose behind it.
Yeah.
And those lines can get blurred, too. Like, you know, you kind of alluded to this earlier, that a film can be both.
Yes.
And maybe actually should be both.
Yeah.
If it's done well. You know, nobody wants to make a film that you can just say, like, yes, technically that was well done and I appreciate it, but I didn't really enjoy watching it.
Yeah.
It's like, why does that really do much?
Yeah.
So what are some others that come to mind when you think of, like, a film that's artistic but also just enjoyable? And if we want to use the term entertaining.
I mean, for me, since I now definitely lean more towards, like, the art house style, which that doesn't mean that it's, like, completely art. They're still very entertaining.
Sure.
I would say 2001.
Yeah.
You know, anything by Kubrick. Mm-hmm. He's a huge inspiration of mine now.
Yeah.
And then anything by Paul Thomas Anderson, mm-hmm. who is now my favorite director.
Yeah.
Very, like, human stories, but just told very artfully.
Yeah.
And, like, truly using the medium as a means in itself to tell stories and portray ideas, not just to entertain.
Yeah. Yeah, it's, you think about Kubrick, it's like, I wonder if a film like 2001 could even be made today with a budget like that, that's as slow paced and drawn out as it is. I mean, I'm trying to think of any director that would have the clout to be able to do that. Like, maybe P.T. Anderson?
Yeah.
Maybe.
I mean, maybe Nolan, but...
But that's probably not the movie he's going to make anyway.
No. Yeah. I saw Barry Lyndon. Speaking of Kubrick, I saw Barry Lyndon a few weeks ago, and that was incredible. Really blew my mind.
From a technical standpoint, or, like, it just was an enjoyable film? I mean, it's always honestly, considered one of his that's, like, appreciated more than enjoyed for a lot of people.
It's definitely his underrated film. Mm-hmm. I found it very enjoyable in a, like in a, I don't know, I don't want to sound pretentious, and I feel like I am, but no, I loved it. I thought it was technically a technical marvel.
Yeah.
And I considered it very entertaining. Just, I mean, how slow it is, but how engaging, and you see the gradation of this person and their personality and their life. Very, very well done.
Yeah. You know, I'm as we think through a lot of these films, you know, something like 2001, you know, something like There Will Be Blood and Donnie Darko and Fight Club. It's like one of the things in common with all those is that they're asking pretty substantial questions, like, you know, kind of to your earlier definition. It's like they're trying to get us to think about important things. And it's like there's a place for that in film that I feel like goes unrecognized a lot of times by viewers, even if it's a thing that's happening internally. You know, one of the things that we like to get into on this podcast is the intersection of some of those big questions with the art that we're either consuming or making or creating. So for you, like, let's kind of explore that just a little bit. Like, in your journey of faith, like, do you feel like there's a pivotal moment where things kind of started to connect, or like a turning point or something to that effect?
I mean, yeah. I would say, like, in my deepest, darkest moments of despair, you know, God definitely, like, brought me out, or just, like, showed me the situation, which I was, like, blind to at the moment. Mm-hmm. So I would say, like, I mean, for me, it's definitely in, like, the worst times, or it was initially, like, when I truly, like, saw that God was in control and working everything out how it should be, but... you know, the world is, it's not ours. It's not the way we see it on the surface.
Yeah. You know, there's something about that too, especially in light of the films we've been talking about, where in order for the gospel story to make sense, you've got to be able to come to terms with the bleakness of reality, whether that's internal with ourselves or external with the world around us, which feels like something that Christians frequently will affirm kind of in the abstract. But when it comes to artistic pieces, you know, I don't know that Christians are typically the ones lining up for the films that recognize the complexities of that darkness. But maybe if there's something else that the films that we've talked about so far have in common, it's that, you know, directors who aren't necessarily afraid of recognizing what they see present either internally or in the world. So it's interesting the way those two things overlap. So for you as a filmmaker, like, what are some of the things that you like to try to bring out conceptually or to try to highlight about the world in your films, kind of at like a big picture level?
I was thinking about this question earlier today because I, you know, knew it was going to be brought up, but it's a big one. It's sort of asking, like, why are you doing what you're doing?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, yeah.
Several reasons, but I guess my initial one is I find like the power that screenwriters and storytellers and like media overlords have over everyone. I find that very beautiful and disturbing and terrifying.
Yeah.
Like the fact that, you know, the TV can be a babysitter for kids and slowly like brainwash them.
Yeah.
Which is, I don't know, it sounds morbid, but I think that's very true.
Mm-hmm. And, yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Producers can like get along whatever message they want to. I wanna try to wield that power and like get behind that control, but do it for good.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of like pull the veil back and show people that, you know, they can kind of be brainwashed sometimes. Yep. By TV.
Yeah.
And entertainment, when it's primarily like as film as entertainment, I think.
Yeah.
When that is done, but I really want to show how beautiful and terrifying the, you know, relationship is between the viewer and the writer, because I think the viewer, and I mean the screenwriter producer, has so much power that the viewer isn't really aware of.
Mm-hmm.
How, you know, we can be told ideas that we're not even aware that are being taught to us by, you know, entertainment. And so I want to get behind that. I want to do it for good. And I want to use nuance, which I find incredibly beautiful in film. Primarily like films with Christian messages, the themes are very nuanced. Mm-hmm. So I want to do that.
Yeah. There's something so intriguing to me about being able to put beautiful and terrifying in the same sentence. And something kind of meta almost about the way you've recognized that too. Like part of the experience of watching a film, kind of in your paradigm here, is to be able to recognize what's actually happening. It's almost like a self-referential thing. Yeah. It's pretty intriguing. And then you introduce nuance into that as well. Yeah, there's so many outlets for what that looks like. So talk a little bit about some of the films you've worked on before, or maybe things you're even working on now.
I mean, just take like a half a step back, I think, or to take a step back, but to take a step forward. Mm-hmm. The films that I love that use nuance to a Christian, by for means of Christian messages, are like, you know, Donnie Darko, mm-hmm. The Truman Show, and Magnolia are like the big ones. But yeah, the themes of Christianity are very nuanced, and I want to do that throughout my films. I'm working on right now on my first feature screenplay, and it's a daunting task, and it's very very difficult and scary, and overwhelming. But it's a process that I am falling in love with.
Yeah.
And I want to, you know, kind of portray my story in there also. Yeah. Like have characters come to despair, but show, you know, them being pulled out, and you have to actually think to see what's going on. So
how far along in the process are you on that one?
I'm almost done with the beat sheet, but it's probably subject to change.
Right.
Because I feel more confident and comfortable having a full beat sheet and like knowing what I'm going to do and like where each scene is going to be, rather than just, you know, sitting down and start writing, tapping. Mm-hmm. So it's a lot of thinking and conceptualizing.
Yeah. Yeah. So let's kind of, you know, one of the things you mentioned a few times, whether it be your own films or other ones that you've been shaped by, this idea of Christian themes. And there's a lot of things that could mean. Let's talk about this just a little bit. Like, maybe we could pick one of those, for example. When we think about Christian themes in a film, like, what are for you some of the things that come to mind?
I mean, there are a lot of themes within Christianity, I think, which is like a good thing to, say in regards to what we're talking about. But like the overall, you know, like story of God and just the idea of having the idea of God and his ultimate control and his love for us on film, but nuanced.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. What are some other films that lately you've been enjoying, or ones that are worth checking out, either for entertainment purposes or artistic purposes?
As of lately, I rewatched Mishima, A Life in Four Chapters, which very artistic. I'll say one artistic and then one entertainment.
Sounds fair.
Yeah, very, very artistic. But just skillfully incredible. Every aspect of it is truly mind-blowing, like down to the production design and costume design to the photography and like how the film looks. It's just so incredible and such a creative way to tell the story of a life. It follows, or we see the journey of this guy. It's a biopic in Japan. I forgot his first name, but his last name is Mishima. He was a writer in Japan, and he had like a failed coup over the Japanese government. He tried to have a coup, but it failed. And so we're shown the story of his life leading up to the coup, but it's told through flashbacks as well as the stories that he wrote, and like just seeing how he can change over time through his stories. I think that's incredibly beautiful and an underrated way to like tell the story of an artist. Mm, so yeah. Definitely check that out.
Yeah. You said you were going to do an entertaining one too.
Yeah.
That's funny because for most people, that would not be the harder one to answer. You can blur the line a little bit. It doesn't have to be. You can just mention some that have impacted you lately.
Oh, B-movie? Are we watching the B-movie?
Not where I thought you were going to go.
Yeah, I rewatched B-movie this summer, and I just love it so much.
All right, so that is not the answer I expected. I would love to hear what you love about that film.
B-movie gets a bad rap just for being, you know, cheesy, and there's so many great memes about it being a, quote, bad movie, but I think it's a fantastic movie. It's so self-aware that it's such a crazy kind of dumb idea, you know, just to have a movie about bees and like it's basically Seinfeld, but it's so self-aware. It's so aware that it's a dumb movie and it's a silly kind of kooky story, and it's just so funny, and there's so many adult not even like adult jokes, but just
things that can be enjoyable if you're not 8 years old,
basically. yes And like apparently it's a it's symbolic of like socialism or whatever.
Yeah.
Which I think is funny that it's in, that's in a, you know, child's movie also, right. Like going back to what we said earlier. But yeah, B movie, it's very funny.
All right. So one film that we've talked about before that, I rewatched recently, that I feel like is worth us circling back around to, that I didn't love the first time, but as I've rewatched it, it started to grow on me, that I think warrants a discussion since we talked about it before, is The Lighthouse.
Yes.
What are your thoughts on The Lighthouse? Let's talk about The Lighthouse for a minute.
I like it a lot. I respect it more than I like it, I think. I mean, I do own it, a copy of it. So, I mean, that means I like it a good, you know, well enough to have a copy of it, but I would consider it much more along the lines of art house. Mm-hmm. And I think it's just like, to an extent, it's a period piece, kind of for the sake of a period piece. Yeah. Like a very unique time and a unique place in this period of time. And just a unique like dynamic of characters. There's only two characters, really. Mm-hmm. And it's just a really, really cool concept. And like nothing really happens, but you know, it shows like a gradual decay of these two guys.
And, yeah.
It's fun.
Yeah. in some ways I feel like, that movie, as we've kind of been talking through a lot of these, that film seems to kind of like corner a lot of the things we've talked about, which is why I thought it might be worth a conversation here today. It's kind of verging on the art house, but it also is a director who has gotten a little bit more public recognition, and some kind of top name actors as well. But it also kind of does like the psychological thing as well as elements of surrealism. I don't know if I'd call it a surreal film. But it definitely is. I mean, you've got these dual themes, kind of like we've been talking about. It's like it's a despairing movie. But the whole idea of this lighthouse, it's like it centers on this idea of something almost transcendent and hopeful that's driving these two men, even in the midst of their despair and loneliness and isolation. So you've kind of got these dual themes present. One of the questions that I come back to with that film, as I talk about that and others with people, is, you know, from, if you're going to kind of talk about a Christian kind of in quotes lens, it's like, you know, it's kind of a strange movie, right? And trying to convince Christians that a film like that could be worth watching sometimes feels like a strange conversation to have. I'm curious your take too, like on a film that presents narrative in kind of like an atypical or surrealistic way. Like, what would you say to somebody, whether a Christian or non-Christian, but especially if we're thinking about Christians here, like what would be the value in, maybe we'll call it just like psychological or kind of surrealist intensity of films like that?
I think you could play with so many themes through the lens of something like a psychological thriller or science fiction and horror, especially. I mean, not always together, but those are usually like the best means of like having a genre film be commentary on something. But I mean, The Lighthouse, you could, I don't know. I don't know I would have to rewatch it to see if I could extract, you know, Christian themes within it. But I guess just like showing the how despairing you could get, like, if you're isolated. And
feels relevant with COVID, right?
Yeah,
think about that connection.
Unfortunately.
Yeah, maybe that's in the COVID list of films to watch. Well, Chandler, what else is on the horizon film-wise? You mentioned the screenplay you're working on. Anything else we could be on the lookout for?
I plan on shooting a proof of concept version of this film this spring, which is, I don't know, kind of, it might be jumping the gun considering I don't have the screenplay done yet, but it's going to make me have it done and like finish it. And I'm really excited to shoot it and to pitch it to people.
Yeah.
Do
you have a title?
No, I do not.
Yeah. Well, we'll certainly be on the lookout.
Yeah, thanks.
Chandler, well, thanks for joining us today. We await the release of the film in whatever capacity it will unveil itself.
But, yeah.
Thanks for being here today.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, until next time.